A good way to evaluate the effectiveness of your preaching is to ask someone for honest feedback. That's the key sentence for our SermonCoach.com podcast for today. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. We're talking, as we always do, with Dr. David Maines, the Executive Director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. David, do you ever get asked by a preacher for feedback concerning his or her sermon?
Would you believe I got asked by two just this past week?
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, they both were named John. Yeah, they were interesting times. Both of them, I would say, are relatively new to preaching. Both have very strong ideas as to how good they are. I said, well, you know who you're asking. You're asking someone who, in some ways, trains ministers in their preaching, and you're asking somebody who tries to be as honest as possible. So are you sure you want me to tell you what I think? I would say one of them was relatively open. The other one didn't hear a word I said, I don't think. Because what he really wanted was, he's a new preacher, and he really wanted somebody to tell him how good he was. You know, it was interesting because when he's all done, he said, I have a number of other sermons. If you want, I have a whole CD with my sermons. Would you like to have it? And I said, sure, I would like to, but I can't listen to them right away. I listened just a tiny bit, and I thought, he's too new. He's too excited about it. He's got 1,000 ideas. He really wanted me to say, you are very gifted, you know, and then leave it there.
Do ministers take your advice and learn from it? It sounds like maybe they don't always do that.
Well, when you talk about longtime ministers, from my experience, I would say that I have more who don't. It's very hard to talk with ministers who preach for a long time and to give them new ideas. I think of one minister, I met with him probably a good, I would say, 5 times on his sermons at his request. You know whether they're listening to you, whether they change what they're doing or not. He actually said to the congregation what a huge help it was to meet with Dr. David Maines on my sermons. I thought to myself, it hasn't changed very much, has it? He would always tell me that is really, really helpful, but he would never do what I said. And at that point, at a certain time, I didn't say to him, you don't listen, I'm not going to do it anymore. I just said, you know, I think I've probably given you all the help that I can. And I think he was relieved that I said that because he was feeling obligated. The truth is he didn't want to change. And then I have another strong impression of another minister who I think he's very skilled. He has a lot of natural talent. But again, he would say what he thought I wanted to hear him say, but when I would evaluate, it got embarrassing to me because every time I said, you did the same thing this time. Now, I don't know if you didn't notice or what, but when it was all done, I still didn't know what you wanted me to do. Even though we talked about it and said, this is what you specifically might suggest, you never got to any of those. So I'm getting, again, a lot of information with no action, and it's not life transforming. I don't know if I'm a bad teacher. I don't think I am, but I came to the place in that situation again. I just basically said, this is not helpful to either of us. I think that obviously you have a lot of skills and you probably don't need me to evaluate anymore. So the answer is, where does it all go? I don't know. Those are the ones I can think of that I met with most. I've met with certain times with ministers and they all agree, and then I haven't heard them preach because they're maybe from somewhere else. I just had no occasion. Sometimes ministers will send me CDs with their sermons. Then it's very hard to listen to it. It takes a while just to write an evaluation. I've not agreed that I will do that, because I think when something is on paper, it comes off more harshly than when you're able to meet with people one-on-one.
I think part of the problem for some ministers is a lot of their identification of who they are comes from their view of themselves as a good preacher. And the idea that they might need help is hard for pastors to admit, at least in a one-on-one or even a public situation. That's one of the things that our ministry overcomes by doing it in this form, by podcasts and by sample sermons. We don't have that direct personal contact. The pastor doesn't have to feel like he or she is being vulnerable to us. We can still give them suggestions and they can move forward with it if they wish. I'm curious if you've ever asked for feedback regarding your sermons.
Oh, I do all the time, and I get it, and usually I find it to be quite helpful. It's because it's my nature to do that. I'm not defensive. A lot of times it'll be a little bit different than what we're saying. Someone will say, you know, a good illustration that I used once that relates to what you're saying, and then that's very helpful, you know. And the truth is, sometimes because I travel, I get to preach sermons over again, and that really is good in my mind. I'd say the vast majority of the time, I'm very appreciative of what people say.
Can you think of a time when how you preach changed because of something someone said to you?
Well, they may be superficial, I guess. I remember when I first went into radio, I came out of the pulpit. I went into radio like I was preaching from the pulpit. And Mr. Jess, who was the originator of the broadcast, the Chapel of the Air, said, David, you're not doing this the way you could, because radio, you listen one-on-one. You don't listen in a group. So you need to talk as though you're talking to a friend, not to a large group of people. Mr. Jess was a master at that. He was very good. He was like you're sitting down in the living room conversing. That changed a lot of my style. It made it awkward for me when I went back into the pulpit, although in some ways it was helpful as well. That was a huge change to me. It also was a huge change that I began to manuscript my sermons. I never did that before. And I see the great advantage of doing that. I also see there are disadvantages to doing that. But that's one time. I also remember from listeners, people giving comment. I remember one gentleman, he just about drove me nuts. Grammar was important to him. And he would tell me every time I mispronounced a word, he would write in and tell me about it. And if I ended a sermon, or not a sermon, but a sentence with a preposition, you know, that just bugged him. And finally, I wrote to him and I said, I now make you my official teacher in this area, and I would encourage you to do this even more and see if I can change or not. So he began to do it. And I would look at his letters and I think, oh man, is that right? Very simple things. I'm trying to think of an illustration. I would say inform instead of inform. And he would catch that little nuance. But I was saying it with an M instead of an N, which was crazy. But after a while, I thought, that guy's my buddy. He is my friend. And somehow, because I was making slight steps forward, he was getting past the grammar and hearing what I was saying. The truth is, he was worth his weight in gold. So yeah, it was very helpful. I'm trying to think of all the words I mispronounced. Oh, golly, there were so many. But thank the Lord for that guy. I can't even remember his name now. You know, I decided he was not my enemy. He wasn't somebody that I would say, oh man, another letter from him. But he was somebody from whom I could learn. And I think that was a great thing. So yeah, I'm trying to think of other people who changed. I think Haddon Robinson, who teaches preaching at different places, conversations with him were very helpful. I would say that I was open because I needed help. I knew I needed help. I knew I needed help because as I was preaching, I was realizing that people weren't changing. And I was realizing that somehow I wasn't getting across what I wanted to. And it was my problem. It wasn't the listener's problem. I'm grateful for all this help. The person who's really fashioned me more than anybody would be my wife or my mom. I remember preaching at Moody Church. The first time I preached there, I was in my early 30s. I was the associate pastor for a year, and they didn't have a pastor, so they needed pulpit fill. I preached on a Sunday morning. There were a number of people who came to the front for prayer, and my mom was in that service because her son was preaching at Moody Memorial Church, which is a huge church in Chicago. And she came up to me afterwards, and she said, David, you mispronounced, and she told me several words that I had mispronounced. And I thought, that's my mom. She didn't hear anything else but that. But thank the Lord for her. That was great. It was important to her. She was helping me. And I guess somehow in the process of all of that, it didn't threaten me. I don't know why I'm that way. But I saw those people as my friends, not my tormentors. And I would do the best I could and try to adjust because I had a lot of things to adjust to.
Have you ever given advice to a preacher when it wasn't wanted?
Yeah, it's a terrible experience. I can think of a guy, I won't name him because in some odd chance he'll listen to this. I gave him a couple suggestions and I thought to myself, that's the dumbest thing I ever did. It's the dumbest thing. Just learn to keep your big mouth shut, David, because that guy is not interested in what your suggestions are. Yeah, I will never give him another suggestion in all my life. It was not even I didn't come running up to him and say, do you know that you did such and such? He kind of was fishing to see where I was coming from. And I said to him, well, I guess in terms of suggestion, this might be something you would think about. And I didn't even get it all out. And I was already in a defensive mode because he didn't want to hear that. So yeah, that can happen. And I think that there are probably times when we've done these podcasts and different ministers have listened and probably cussed us out the most apropos way they could do without using profanity. Those turkeys don't know what they're talking about. I'll never listen to one of those again. But maybe they keep coming back, and maybe the next time we'll say something that has value.
Yeah, it's nice for those guys sitting in the studio telling us out here in the where the rubber meets the road.
That's exactly right. Those two clouds, oh man, yeah.
A good way to evaluate the effectiveness of your preaching is to ask someone for honest feedback. We're so glad you joined us for this SermonCoach.com podcast. You found it on our website, SermonCoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We invite you to look at the resources on our website, We've placed them there to help pastors improve the effectiveness of their ministry. And we invite you to join us for our next SermonCoach.com podcast.